Greetings again in Jesus' name. This past week I've been meditating on the subject of obedience and disobedience and the relationship between them. And one of the reasons that I've been meditating on this subject is because that I have a job of writing Sunday school lessons. And I was writing a Sunday school lesson on the subject of disobedience. And one nice thing about it, one blessing of writing these Sunday school lessons is that you all do not use these lessons here at all. And so I'm free to use these lessons for devotionals and for sermons, and there's no overlapping. So anyway, I thought I'd share some things that I learned about this subject this past week. The lesson, the scripture, is from 1 Samuel chapter 15, if you would turn there in your Bibles. It's the story of the disobedience of King Saul when he didn't obey the command of the Lord. And it's such a picture of what it's like when people are disobedient to the Lord and how they excuse themselves and how they blame other people and how their disobedience is so obvious to God and so obvious to others. 1 Samuel 15, we could read the whole chapter, but it's rather lengthy. So let's begin with verse 9. 1 Samuel 15, 9, verses 9 through 13 introduce us to his disobedience. And then verses 14 through 19 tell of his call to accountability by Samuel, and of course by the Lord. And then verses 20 through 26 describe the consequences of his disobedience. Now, earlier in the chapter, in the first few verses, the Lord had commanded that when Saul took his army to conquer the enemy, that they were to kill all the people, every one of them, and destroy all of the animals, every one of them. 1 Samuel 15, beginning with verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag, he was the king, and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried all night unto the Lord. When someone is disobedient, even when we're disobedient on our own, are we willing to, because of the sorrow of it all, cry all night to the Lord? And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. And now we come to him being held accountable by God. Verse 14, and Samuel said, What meaneth this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then we go on with more consequence, more excuses, and then finally the consequences of it all. And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, and to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord." And Samuel said unto Saul, "I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." A terrible picture of disobedience, while all at the same time claiming to be obedient. The Lord wanted the Amalekites to be completely destroyed. They had long been a thorn in the flesh of the children of Israel, and they had long influenced the children of Israel in the wrong direction, to be unfaithful to the Lord. They were the first people to attack Israel after they escaped from Egypt, and you can find that in Exodus chapter 17. And because Saul did not at this point obey the Lord's direction, the Amalekites continued to be a thorn in the flesh to the children of Israel. Now, in these Old Testament passages, there are some things that Christians can't apply at all. There are many, many lessons we can learn, but there are some things we cannot apply. And in this particular case, God does not call Christians to fight battles and in armies with people. Christians are not called to do that. When Christians face physical enemies, Jesus has established a spiritual kingdom, and Christians are to be non-resistance. His servants do not fight. And to win the world to Jesus Christ, we're to live and teach the gospel that influences and transforms people's lives. We do not annihilate people, but rather we bring them the gospel. So you can't make a comparison there. But in this area of being completely obedient to what God tells us what to do, we can learn some lessons from this passage. Amalek can be seen as a type or a picture of the flesh. The Amalekites descended from Esau. And you remember that Esau was the one who sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. And he gave in to his fleshly desires. And the Amalekites always represented giving in to fleshly desires. And Saul sparing the best of Amalek demonstrates how people give in to their sins. They condone their sins. They condone besetting sins. And as people often do with their sins, Saul claimed to be obedient to the Lord and was directly disobedient to the Lord. The Lord said, "It repented me that I've set up Saul to be the king." And when the Bible talks about the Lord repenting, it doesn't mean that the Lord asks forgiveness for his sins at all. But it means that the Lord is very, very sorrowful for sins of people. And it repented him. He was very sorry that he made Saul the king because of Saul's disobedience. And the Lord wanted him to do differently. And the Lord repenting may mean that the Lord will change the way he does things in relationship to people, but he is still on the throne and he is still in charge. And he will continue to do his will, even though he may change the way he works with people with whom he feels that he needs to repent or be sorry. "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king." Those who do not get rid of sin, like Saul do, they keep some hidden sin to themselves. He felt like that it was a good thing to do to spare at least some of the things, the best things, the very best things. He thought that was okay to do. And so he was hanging on to some things. And it's so easy to hang on to sin. And some people will make a profession of repenting like Saul did, and yet they'll hold on to some things. Maybe the problem has been wrong reading, reading wrong material, even pornography. Maybe the problem has been some other area of, maybe it's music. And so a person repents, says, I'm sorry I did it, I don't want to keep on in this way, and then they hold on to one or two CDs, or they hold on to one or two magazines. If I get rid of all the rest, maybe it's okay. But in God's sight, it is not okay. Partial disobedience is not obedience to the Lord. Notice Saul's excuses. There were at least four of them that Saul gave. And it's a temptation for people today to give these same types of excuses in relationship to sin. The first one was he blamed the people. He put the blame on someone else. And that's so easy for people to do. He says, he was referring to the people, the rest of the people, he said, they brought these cattle from the Amalekites. They did it. And so he's kind of shifting blame, in spite of the fact that he himself was the one who brought the king, Agag. And the people were only following his example in disobedience when they brought the cattle with them. And so it's always easy to blame somebody else and say, but I couldn't help it because they did so and so. They put pressure on me, and on the excuses go. The second one is, when he did speak about obedience, he made sure to include himself. Notice that. He blamed the people entirely for bringing the cattle. But when it came to some other things, he made sure that he got in on the obedience part. And he said, but the rest, we, that is King Saul and the people, the rest of us, we have utterly destroyed. I helped do it. I was obedient. He made sure that he was included when there was a little element of obedience. Thirdly, he justified what he did. We didn't take everything. We only took the very, very best. Self-justification. And finally, he claimed to have done what he did for a spiritual reason. He tried to claim that he was spiritual. And he said, you know, we're not going to use these things for ourselves. We're going to sacrifice them to the Lord God. We're going to sacrifice them. It's for a purpose. It's for good. When the Lord had told him not to do what he did. But notice the way he worded it. He said, you know, we've spared these things to sacrifice them to the Lord thy God. And he was talking to Samuel. He said, to the Lord thy God. Why didn't he say, to the Lord my God? Or why didn't he say, to the Lord our God? And the reason was that Jehovah was not really Saul's God. Saul himself was his own God. Verse 17 comes to the root of Saul's disobedience. It talks about the time when he was little in his own eyes, or when he was humble in his own eyes. When he was humble, the Lord chose him to be the king over Israel. When he was big in his own eyes, he took his own way. And so the sin that lay at the root of the whole thing and all of that disobedience, the sin was pride. And when there's sin in my life, what lies at the root of that? Pride does. Now notice the consequences, the last part of the passage. Well, he again starts making excuses and trying to work his way around the truth. He still claimed to have obeyed God in spite of the fact that the king was right there and those cattle were right there. He was deaf to his own sin, and yet anybody who had ears to hear could hear the bleating of the cattle. He again blamed the people for what he did in verse 21. And it was a half-truth that amounted to a whole lie when he did it. And again, he faked spirituality. And they would sacrifice these things, and they sacrifice them to the Lord thy God. He still wouldn't admit that it was the Lord his God. And certainly not because he was being disobedient to the Lord God. Verse 22 is I think, one of the most profound admonitions to obedience found in the whole Old Testament. It teaches us what really pleases the Lord. And it reminds us of some other statements that we read in the Old Testament. For example, in Psalm 51, David says that the best sacrifice we can give God is a repentant heart. And that thought is included there in what was said to Saul. And we think of the prophet Micah. And the question is raised in Micah, what would really please the Lord? Would thousands of rams or thousands of rivers of oil, would they please the Lord? With Saul, would that king and all those cattle, would that really please the Lord? And in Micah, it says, no, those things would not please the Lord without a penitent heart. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. And as if disobedience wasn't a strong enough accusation against Saul from the Lord said he's guilty of rebellion, which is a sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is denial of God's authority. And it says he's stubborn. He's guilty of stubbornness. And that's taking your own way and completely rejecting God's way. God would not recognize that lame confession that Saul made. He wouldn't recognize it. And he said, you're going to be removed. Your kingship will be removed. It was a number of years until it was, but eventually it would be removed. In reality, partial obedience is complete disobedience. And Saul is an illustration of it. And that's how Satan deceived Saul. And that's how he deceives people today into being partially obedient. But in God's sight, it is total disobedience. Only complete obedience to God brings blessing. Let's kneel together in prayer.